Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. Today we are talking about new school leadership. What does leadership look like in 2018? And our leading lady today is Kathy David from IT Tech Pros. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Bethany.
It's great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to talk about your book.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Kathy's book is called New School Leader. Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind your book? What were you hoping for? What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I will say over the last 20 years, I've always found myself in leadership positions, and I find that when I have joined an organization, and even in my previous career, would get promoted in a leadership role. And even when I started my business and I have found myself joining organizations, again, within a short period of time, the leaders of those organizations will ask me if I'm interested in applying for a leadership type seat in the boardroom or whatever it may be that is in leadership. So in my early days as a professional, even when I started this, my company 13 years ago, people saw my leadership potential before I consciously knew that I had this capability naturally. But even with that, then I knew when people started asking me to be in leadership functions that I knew I needed to develop and needed more training to fully walk into an effective, leadership to be fully capable in my leadership capabilities. So over the years, I have intently, studied about leadership and read books about it. I'm passionate about it. And as mentioned, 13 years ago, I started my business, and I know that it's imperative to continue to build and enhance my leadership IQ. I have also mentored throughout the years a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs and also young adults and young professionals just graduating from, their MBA programs. And two things that is frequently asked from me when I do mentor these people, these folks. And the first question is, how can I become a better individual? And how can I develop my leadership skills? So that's really one of the inspirations to why I wrote this book. The second reason why is I've found that the most significant learning and development have come from the simplest ideas or thoughts. I've read a lot of books around leadership, but my favorite books that I have read and reread over and over again over the last 15 plus years are books like the Book of Proverbs. I know that people probably wouldn't consider that a traditional book to use for business.
Right,
and then the
right.
other book, and then the other book is Tao Te Ching, which is really this book, just really small, simple thoughts and ideas. But what I've found is that the simple and straight to the point gems have really helped me tremendously, not just in business, but in life. And so I was inspired by these books' simplicity. So given that I have talked to a lot of professionals and mentored individuals, and I've been asked time and time again these questions, how can I develop my leadership skills and how can I become a better individual overall? That's the reason why I was inspired to write this book. We now live in a world where we are bombarded with information. And
right.
just like the two books that I've referenced, I wanted to keep my book simple as well. And so that my
right.
readers can refer back to it, you know, time and time again, and read through the ideas for daily and regular inspiration. So one of my main philosophies in life in general is just keeping it simple. And that's what I did with my book, New School Leader, where I share 206 ideas around different areas in life and how to deal things in business.
That's fantastic. And so, and I love that. And I love those kinds of the books that are simple, easy to read, because especially the books that you can pick up and read, and you don't necessarily have to read it in order back to, you know, front to back. You can
right.
pick it up and read a little bit here and a little bit there. And I think your book very well is very well suited for that. And
exactly.
so like when you're talking about leadership and about improving your leadership and improving yourself as a person, and this isn't a question, this is a question that just came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, like, what are the mistakes that you see people make in leadership the most often, or where do you see people need to focus their energy in terms of leadership in order to become more effective?
Sure. Great question, Bethany. One thing is that people assume, especially if a person is not experienced with working with people, but yet are put into leadership positions, I often find or have observed that they approach it in an authoritative way. That's one mm-hmm. mistake. And are more driven by results than they are that they care about people. That's
uh-huh.
one mistake. When in leadership, the most important thing to focus on is are the people and taking care of people versus driving people to get results. There is a much more effective way to get what you want out of your team without being heavy-handed or controlling. So one of
right.
the other mistakes that leaders make is micromanagement, right? Not trusting their people to do the things that they do best, but yet want to do things, the leader want their team to do things the way the leader wants it done, and may not be the most effective way to get things done. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, micromanagement is one mistake that a lot of leaders make. And again, not trusting and allowing their team to do what they are supposed to do. And again, just really having, you know, a lack of emotional intelligence in working with a team and not just worrying about just the bottom line. I mean, the bottom line is important, but there is a way to do it to where there's still harmony within, you know, the team and not cause that friction between I am the leader, therefore listen to me, and I am, you know, this is how I want things done. So I believe just in general, that's one mistake. The
mm-hmm.
other thing is not listening. That is the key, I believe, to effective leadership is listening. So a lot of times leaders just like to talk and tell. And tell people what they need to do and lack the ability to listen and really listening to what is needed and listening to an individual or a group of people that may give you ideas to just have a better overall experience for everybody. And I know I'm
right.
just answering in generalities, but I, you know, in the 20 plus years I've been in business, those are two things that I have observed. And also in my earlier years as, you know, someone who has had to lead a team, I've made those mistakes also.
And so then when you're, you know, you were saying that these are common mistakes and they're common enough that you made them yourself, What would you say is the best way to start moving in the direction of change? So if you recognize that you are that way and it's not as effective, how would you recommend that leaders shift from behavior patterns that are not that are not as productive into ones that are more helpful, that are more useful, that are better for the team, that create better results?
Yes, and that's a great question. And in my book, I do share resources, and one of those resources is doing a, you know, self-assessment. And there are many that's available out there, and one I highly recommend for people is DISC. The DISC assessment, you've heard of Myers-Briggs too, but in a workplace environment, I have found that the DISC assessment much more effective, and it gives you what are your natural behavioral traits. And then once you've gone through that, really study it and also get continuing education around how to communicate with different types of people. Because, again, you know, you've got people who are behaviorally, you know, and naturally communicate one way, and there's actually 16 different, you know, this type, and so you are really working with a variety of different personalities and knowing what they are and being aware of how to communicate with each personality type is, it will help. And I truly do believe in continuing education and also working with a coach or executive leader type of a program to help and continue to, again, hone in and enhance those skills. One of the other trainings, and I highly recommend it to people in position of leadership, is years ago, and this is something I still apply in my business today, it's called situational leadership. And I also share that in my book. Going through that program, if you can afford to either take the training as an independent, you know, business owner, you know, seek out that type of a training. And I know Ken Blanchard offers it. If you're in town, Ken Blanchard is here in town, and they do have courses and classes available. Or if you work for a large organization, see about tapping into and or seeing how you can get that training for your leadership team. Situational leadership is, you know, switching your leadership style based on the person's competency level. And there's really not one type of approach, it's more situational. So your leadership style or coaching style with your team, you know, it's going to be different for someone who's a newbie within the organization versus someone who is a high-performing team member of your organization. And this is also a common mistake. We have, each of us have a natural style of leadership. And oftentimes, if we're not aware of who we're dealing with and their, again, capabilities or competency level, your one leadership style can cause, you know, either friction depending on, you know, depending on that person itself. So a great example is for a high-performing person, you don't necessarily want to tell the person how to do their job and coach them every single day to drive results, because a high-performing person already knows what to do. What the high-performing person needs is basically just more challenge and offering yourself as an available person for support. So a person who is a newbie will need a little bit more guidance and direction and step-by-step instructions on how to get, you know, knowledgeable in that, in their job. So situational leadership walks you through that, and there's a learning curve, right, from depending on that person or that individual that you're working with. So I highly recommend taking situational leadership if you can, and going through the certification program.
That's really great. So when you decided to become an author and to write your book, because this is your first book, correct?
Well, it's my first book that first solo book project. So this is technically my fourth publication, but the other three were more in collaboration with other authors. So this one's a big deal for me because this is a solo project.
Right, absolutely it is. And you're the only author in this book. So when you decided, well, I'm going to write my own book and publish this book, what was your goal? What did you see for yourself as the goal that underpinned your desire to write this book?
I know that we all have unique backgrounds and experiences, and I know my background and experience is unique. And I wanted to share my perspective with the world about what I thought a leader is based on my own experiences. And I believe that what I have to share is valuable. I worked with a lot of people, as mentioned, and I've mentored professionals and aspiring entrepreneurs. And I wanted to put this book together so it's easy for me to just, you know, share my knowledge with them and help them find and tap into their highest potential as an individual. So that's really my goal. In a simple way that it's just a simple way that they can just take a thought depending on what they're going through and just really focus on that. And I've had, you know, since we have published the book and made it available to everyone, I have gotten countless emails and messages from people, and I've had several people who work for companies, and I have bought more books so they can share it with their management or leadership team. So that's really the goal, is that, you know, it's used to inspire others to become better individuals.
Tremendous. That's so great. So I want to give our listeners an opportunity to know how to contact you if they would like to learn more about leadership, work with you in person. How can they best do that?
Yes, the best way to do that is go to my website. It's kathydavid.com. That's the easiest way to find me. All of my links to the businesses that I have, including how to get a copy of this book, is on that website. Or you can call my office, and you can I'll give the phone number. Not a problem. It's 760-752-8309. And when you do call, just let my team know that you're calling regarding New School Leader, and I'll make sure to circle back around and return your call if you have any questions or need to connect with me.
Fantastic. And your book, New School Leader, is available on Amazon for purchase, both as a print book and as a Kindle, so you can also get your book directly right from Amazon as well. So I want to shift the conversation a little and talk about the publishing process, because like you were mentioning, this is your first solo project, so you've contributed to other chapters to other books, if I understand. And this is the first, project that you undertook on your own. So I'm curious, like, what was that like? I always like asking authors this question. What was the hardest part, and what was the most fun?
Yeah, so for me, I think the hardest part initially was just deciding to write the book.
Right?
We all have ideas, right? We all have something to share with the world. And it was just really for me that I know this has been my goal for a while. Yes, I've written other books with, you know, collaborating with other authors. I know I've always wanted to write my own book. And once I decided to just do it, I think I just, that was the hardest part, is just getting started. But once I got started, it was just, you know, it just flowed naturally.
What was the biggest obstacle for you getting started and doing your own book? What was your biggest concern or fear? What kept you Like, what made that the most difficult part?
Well, for me, it's time, because I am a busy business owner. I don't have just one business. I have two. I have my IT company and my responsibilities there, and I have a startup with a new product that I'm developing. And so a lot of 20% of my time during the week goes towards building that company. So
right.
really just prioritizing my time and finding, you know, working that into my weekly schedule to make sure I put, you know, 1 to 2 up to 3 hours a week to put into my book. And what
right.
I actually did was I spent one weekend or one day out of the week, which is usually a weekend and sometimes Saturday and Sunday, working and putting, you know, time towards completing my book.
Right. Yeah, and I love that, because I think a lot of professional women especially think about writing a book and are like, well, I'm just never going to have the time to do it. I know I struggled with that in writing my book. And so I love to ask, especially professional women, how did they create the time for themselves and create that success for themselves in writing their book? And sounds like you did it. By scheduling
it is, and it's, you know, I practice what I preach, and one of the chapters in New School Leader, it talks about taking action, and when
right.
you want something, you make it a priority, and for you to, you know, get the outcome that you want in your life, you have to take action. So I have to practice what I preach, and that's exactly
right.
what I did. You know, we can make excuses of why we shouldn't do it. But as mentioned, once I decided I was going to do this, and once you decide, you make it a priority and you work that in. It's about
right.
taking that step and taking that action in order for you to accomplish anything. So,
absolutely. And so, like, just so people have, like, a realistic idea of you're a busy woman, you've got two businesses that you're running, and you're also deciding to write a book, and so you're taking action, you're making it a priority, but realistically, how long did it take to get the writing done from when you started to when the book was ready to go into production?
I started in December 2017,
mm-hmm.
and I think I had the book 95% complete by around July,
mm-hmm.
August. And then when I started working with, Women Lead Publishing, we had a few minor things to rewrite. So, you know, December through August.
Yep. And I think
really,
that's
a
reasonable expectation for a woman who is
right.
who is busy and has other things going. Very few people have the luxury of putting their lives on hold while they write their book. And very often
exactly.
it's all about how can I make this a priority and fit this into an already busy life and schedule.
Yeah.
So congratulations for doing that. Not everybody does it. So you absolutely did, and congratulations. I'm curious,
thank
what
you.
Kind of support did you get throughout the publishing process? What did that look like, and what felt important about it to you? What were you looking
yes.
for?
Yeah, so, you know, when I first started in November, my idea was to self-publish. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was the goal. However, I found that, you know, once I finished the book, there are more things to worry about, like the book cover, the editing, formatting,
mm-hmm.
getting it ready for Amazon and Kindle. And again, I was already really busy. So it was really important for me to partner. And the support that I got was through, you know, you and Women Lead Publishing, and really
right.
helping me, you know, package the book in a way, you know, to get it ready for you know, publication, which has been
right.
great for me. So it was just like an easy handoff, and someone else took me to the finish line, basically, and,
right.
and that was great. So I didn't have to worry about all of the details that are so important in getting a final book done.
Right, and there's a lot of them. And it's nice
a lot.
Sometimes to be able to hand that off. Like I tell people, I'm like, publishing isn't rocket science. It's not like learning to become a surgeon. The information is all out there, and you can learn it, and you can do it yourself. And some people, that's not the best choice for them because they don't have time for that, or they don't have the inclination to do that. They have other things that are a priority, and pulling in professionals to handle that part can be very effective.
I recommend, you know, and you're right, you know, anybody can self-publish. And for me, the challenge for me, as mentioned, I was already busy, and I just really had to assess what's important for me and making sure that this is a successful, you know, production. And I knew I needed to partner with a publisher to get me through the finish line and, you know, get my book out to the world in a way that I couldn't have done it, to be honest with you. I could have done it myself, but I believe that, you know, working with you and Women Lead Publishing has really taken it to the next level for me.
Yeah. So what was the part, like, because you mentioned that the hardest part of getting your book done was making the decision to start. What did you find the most rewarding or the most fun part of the process, or like what was that for you?
To be honest, I really enjoyed the writing process. And I think in reading through it and rereading through it, and I was just really inspired because, you know, we have a lot of ideas that are inside of us, in our heads. And I think, you know, once you get it into, you know, print or on your computer or on your paper and you're reading it, I was just really inspired that my creative juices were flowing. I was really happy when I got the final sample before, we went into, you know, fully, you know, formally published it, the final copy of it. I was just so excited to see it. And that really was fun. Like, wow, you know, I made this happen.
It
and
is.
It's so gratifying to see it, you know, from front to back, completely done with forewords, with everything that's involved. So that's my own experience. And to me, the entire process was fun, and to see something that is an idea that was once in your head and to see it fully, you know, in front of you and in a physical format is something else.
Absolutely. And so for my final question, because we're getting close to the end of the show, is there a piece of advice that you would give to the aspiring author? You know, think of the professional woman who is considering writing a book, who feels like they can, but they're not sure. What piece of advice would you give that woman?
So I'm going to refer back to my book, New School Leader.
Good.
And in my book, it's about taking action. And one of my favorite idea is number 41. And if you don't, you know, and I'll share number 41 with you all here on this show. And it says, the best way to get started is to just start. And my execution tip, follow these tips. Step one, fire. Step two, ready. Step three, aim. And once you have executed, then the phase two execution tips are these. Step one, ready. Step two, fire. Step three, aim. Repeat until you get this process right. So regarding how to get a book started. So just start, right? Fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the second part is ready. So I think, you know, having gone through this process myself with Women Lead Publishing, get engaged with a publisher like Women Lead Publishing, and they will help you get ready. And then they will help you aim as well. And the reason why it's fire, ready, aim versus ready, aim, fire is that when we do it in that order, sometimes what happens is analysis paralysis. We think we're not ready. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be, I've got to have all my ducks in a row before I can even start, when sometimes that's the very thing that gets us stuck. So firing.
So just get started. Yeah, absolutely.
Just get started. Get ready. Get help from Woman Lead Publishing. They'll help you get ready and then aim to get your book published. And that's the simplest way that I can share, and that's been effective for me. This is what I do, not just, you know, in this process, but when I get something started in my business, or if I have an idea, like my second business that I'm getting ready to launch, that this execution tip has helped me out over and over again.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kathy, for being our leading lady today. Thank you for all of your wisdom and advice. A special thanks also to all our listeners, both in the U.S. and international. We will be back again for another Women Lead radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2. Thank you for listening. And remember, keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.